Well, good afternoon. Happy Friday, TGIF. Thank God it's Friday and a holiday Friday nonetheless. Unfortunately for you, I am not Greg Kelly. Sorry to disappoint you. I am Frank Moreno. Now, unless you suffer from the occasional bout of insomnia, that probably means very little to you. But I am normally heard from 1 a.m. to 6:30 a.m. here on 77 WABC. From 1 to 5 a.m., I do a show called The Other Side of Midnight. We focus on UFOs, the paranormal, wild stuff, unorthodox conversations of all sorts. And then from 5 to 6:30 a.m., I co-anchor with the lovely and talented Juliet Huddy, the 77 WABC Early News, where we start your day with all the news that you need to know to get through the day. Now, I thought long and hard about what kind of show I was going to do for you today, given that I'm filling in for Greg Kelly. You want to talk about something that's intimidating in talk radio these days? It's filling in for Greg Kelly. Have you seen the numbers that Greg Kelly is doing in this time slot? He is killing everybody. He's killing everybody. I mean, it's incredible. And the fact that this show has just started and it already has that kind of growth, I mean, it's incredibly intimidating to be able to sit in Greg's chair. I mean, technically, it's still the same chair that I sit in from 1 to 6:30 a.m. every day. However, it's pretty big shoes to fill. So when I was planning what kind of show to do today, I said, that's it. I am going to pull out all the stops, the whole kit and caboodle, the whole ball of wax, the whole enchilada. I am going to do the greatest radio show that I have ever done in my life. But then I thought to myself, wait a minute.
Whoa!
If I am going to do the greatest radio show I've ever done, isn't that a little unfair to the people that listen to me day in and day out from 1 a.m. to 6:30? Don't they deserve the best radio show I'm capable of doing? It seems like I'm kind of saving the nice Valentine's Day gift for my gumad instead of my wife. You wouldn't do that. So then I said, no. You know, I can't do that. Let me do a mediocre show in place for Greg Kelly. But then I said, well, okay, if I do a mediocre show, then management's not going to like that. They're going to regret the decision to allow me to do this show instead of all the other great hosts here at WABC that could have been gifted this slot. So I said, I'm going to do a show that's very, very good. So that is what you're about to hear. From now until 2 o'clock, you are about to hear a show that is not great, but very, very good. And on a Friday afternoon when you're sitting in traffic, is there anything better? Am I right? Our phone number is 1-800-848-WABC. We'll take your calls on any subject for the next 90 minutes. You want to talk about the mayor's race? I'm happy to do that. Governor's race? I'm happy to do that. But there is more to life than politics, although we are going to talk, I believe, in the next few minutes with Roger Stone, noted political strategist, Trump confidant, and political hitman. There's more to life in politics. What's more important than politics? I heard the baseball fans in our audience collectively cry out, the Mets or the Yankees. No. What's more important in life than politics is life itself. Now, how does life get here? I don't want to be philosophical. I'm going to be very technical here. Life gets here because of sex. That is why a story that is making the rounds all over the news has struck my interest. Because so many of the experts are saying, with this being the official first weekend of summer, or the unofficial first weekend of summer, people are saying that we could be heading, because of vaccinations and pent-up frustrations and businesses reopening again, we could be heading towards a summer of sex. And I'll tell you why I think that's a good thing in a minute. But in order to understand the phenomenon of the summer of sex, you need to understand that a lot of sociologists, historians, futurists, prognosticators of all types are predicting, now that the United States has finally beat back the scourge of this pandemic, we could be on the precipice of a second roaring 20s, a decade of decadence, frivolity, and hedonism to match or exceed what this country went through 100 years ago after the Spanish flu pandemic. I happen to think that's a good thing. One of the reasons that I am just fine with a summer of sex, now this won't apply to me because I'm married, but one of the reasons I'm just fine with a summer of sex and a new roaring 20s, one is because after the last year and a half of people being stuck in their houses, not being able to go to restaurants, having to wear a hazmat suit to go order an outdoor meal, people deserve it, number one. Number two is, one of the problems that we're seeing all over the West, including in the United States, is a problem with underpopulation. We are seeing childbirths go lower and lower each and every year. And that is going to create all sorts of problems. And while I recognize a lot of people are still going to use birth control and things of that sort, I am hopeful that a summer of sex and a new roaring 20s will lead to a new baby boom. We'll see what happens. I'd love to hear your thoughts. 800-848-9222. I'm Frank Morano, sitting in for Greg Kelly. We may check in with Roger Stone in just a minute. If not, plenty of time for you and I to chat. In the meantime, in the 2 o'clock hour, I'm going to talk with noted pundit and former Suffolk County executive Steve Levy. You're not going to want to miss that conversation. 800-848-9222. This is The Other Side of Midnight. Straight ahead. Well, good afternoon. This is not Greg Kelly. This is Frank Morano here on 77 WABC. We'll get to your calls in just a minute. 800-848-9222. Very pleased to be joined by one of the most accomplished Republican political consultants in history, longtime Donald Trump confidant, and a New York Times best-selling author, longtime friend of mine, the one and only Roger Stone. Hello there, Roger. I'm glad you're able to join us on a holiday weekend like this.
Frank, I'm delighted to be with you. I love Greg Kelly. He's one of my favorites. And as you know, I love you. You're one of my other favorites. And WABC has been very wise to put you on the air because your shows are always fascinating.
Well, thank you, Roger. I appreciate that. You know, Roger, I want to get your take on an announcement that you made and also some hot button political news that's making the waves. But I was just talking about the fact that a lot of people are expecting there to be a summer of sex and potentially even a new roaring 20s. Can you see that being the case? What's your prediction?
I would have to understand the context of your question.
Well, right. So everyone's vaccinated now, and there is going to be a lot of pent up frustration. People haven't been able to go to restaurants. People haven't been able to meet in bars. They haven't been able to go on dates. They have been very cautious with meeting one another on dating apps. And I'm curious, now that all that has gone away, largely because of the vaccine, do you think we could see a new decade or at least a new summer of decadence, frivolity, and hedonism?
I used to be in favor of those things before I recommitted myself to Christ and had a lot of experience in that area, actually. But I must say,
I'm aware of that.
Based on what I've read, of course, the vaccination, we're now told, does not actually protect you from COVID-19 infection, which leads me to wonder why a number of people are taking it. But look, I think that one of the backdrops here is you have to have the money to buy the drinks. And this economy appears to me to be headed downwards. In other words, higher gas prices, higher food prices, raging inflation, real increases in inflation. So, one of the important backdrops will be what kind of economy do we have? This is also a manifestation of the shutdowns. Small businesses, small restaurants, small bars being put out of business because they just couldn't survive. So, I'm hoping for a healthy summer. That would be the most important thing to me.
Well, it certainly sounds like that's a vote against a prediction for a new roaring 20s. Now, You put out a statement a couple of minutes ago, right before we went on air, regarding the health of your wife, Nydia. You and Nydia have been together for decades, and she's been a rock and a steadfast supporter of yours. Tell me what announcement you guys made with respect to Nydia's health.
Well, it is with a heavy heart that I tell you that we authorize Reverend Randy Coggins, who I met several years ago and who really emerged as a spiritual advisor during my 2-year fight against the political prosecution of the Mueller witch hunt, to tell the American people that Nydia Stone has been diagnosed with stage 3 cancer, which has spread to her lungs. And she is going to face this like she has faced every adversity in her life, with faith, with good humor. She's stoic. She's very brave. She's committed to beating this disease. But, Frank, it comes as a shock because in late February, she had a chest X-ray and a full blood workup, and she was in perfect health. So this is a very fast-moving, very aggressive cancer. We had prayed, that the tests would tell us otherwise, but they have not. And as you know, the Biden Justice Department is suing my wife and I for essentially penalties and interest on back taxes in a completely bogus and fraudulent lawsuit because we are not living a secret, lavish lifestyle. That is a reprehensible lie. I'm going to ask that the prosecutor resign this, be sanctioned once I prove in court that that is nonsense. This is political harassment. The Mueller investigation not only destroyed our finances, but I would now argue that the stress of it has destroyed my wife's health, because stress is a major, major driver for cancer.
Well,
Nydia Stone never smoked, ate carefully, exercised every day. She was a health fanatic. So, look, I appreciate the fact that my phone, my email, just blowing up with text messages of people praying for us. And prayer is the answer. Folks who want to help us, and we do need your help, can go to stonefamilyfund.com. But, Frank, I appreciate your raising this and doing it in a dignified way.
Yeah, as it's really a shame. I mean, your family's been through a great deal. Obviously, your own criminal trial, the pre-dawn raid by the FBI, which we learned so much about, the damage to your reputation that has been done, the ultimate, until you were pardoned, being sentenced to prison time, the investigation now into these tax allegations, and a whole bunch of other things. To see your wife have to deal with stage 3 cancer in the midst of this is incredibly sad. And I know Nydia, and I'm wishing you both the best of luck. And she might be the only person I know who's more of a fighter than you are. So we're wishing you the best of luck, sincerely.
Well, I appreciate that very much. It is, the government's brought a civil suit against me on taxes, and they try to imply that I have somehow failed to declare income, or I've hid nothing. In fact, it's amazing. Every single point made in their claim against me is either factually or legally incorrect. No, I don't want to settle. I want to go to trial in Miami in front of a judge appointed by Donald Trump. So maybe at least I'll get a fair trial this time.
All right. Now, speaking of Donald Trump, he himself finds himself the subject of an investigation, in that the Manhattan DA's office has finally found some crimes that they might be interested in prosecuting. The scuttlebutt is that a grand jury has been convened to undergo a criminal probe into the Trump Organization and to Donald Trump himself. Apparently, this is all rumors. Apparently, there's some speculation that he might have overstated the value of some properties, in addition to some other things, in terms of a fraudulent manner in order to get better terms on a loan. What's your take on this investigation that's going on from the Manhattan DA and apparently from the state attorney general as well?
Well, this is a political persecution. Cy Vance is an elected Democrat, by the way, with his own long record of corruption, which I will be exposing in the weeks ahead. So let's not pretend he isn't a political animal. Letitia James ran for attorney general basically on a pledge to jail Donald Trump. And now, without probable cause, without any evidence of a crime, they're allowed to root through 30 or 40 years worth of business records seeking something that he did wrong. And yeah, they appear to have telegraphed their punch. They're going to claim that he overestimated the value of some assets, I guess, that he may have used while borrowing money. Well, if the bank accepted that through their appraiser, I don't see the crime. This is manufactured harassment and persecution of the greatest president since Abraham Lincoln. And I'll tell you why. Because if he comes back in 2024, we
WNYC
have an honest
Studios
election.
Is support.
I'm sorry about that.
Yeah. Was that a fan chiming in?
No, what? that was our normal engineer was off today. Sorry about that.
Okay. You're fired, as Donald Trump would say. In any event, no, this is because they fear that he will run again in 2024 and that he will beat them again, because he's now actually beaten them twice, in my opinion. Look, there were enough irregularities and anomalies in the 2020 election that it was at least worthy of examination. You know, Stone's a nut. He's a right-wing conspiracy theorist. Why do they fear examination, a fair investigation and examination? You know, perhaps I'm wrong, Frank. Maybe Joe Biden won. Maybe he ran 20% higher in the African-American precincts in New York and Philadelphia, for example, than Barack Obama. But I somehow doubt it.
Well, what would that do to Donald Trump's political prospects if he is, say, indicted by the Manhattan DA's office? And that could mean a trial in 2022 at some point. What do you see that doing to the prospect of a Trump 2024 candidacy?
Well, obviously, it's designed to try to poison the president's chances of running again. But I think once people see the TV ads outlining Cy Vance, and what he has done, and the political motivation of this, perhaps it'll actually help the president. Maybe it will galvanize his support among Republicans and galvanize support among those independents and many, many people who never voted before 2016 or 2020, who've been new to the process and now who are very turned off because they don't believe that the courts or the legislatures did their duty to examine what a minimum are anomalies and irregularities. That's all I'm asking is for a fair examination of the evidence, and I don't think we ever had that. But explain to me how Pennsylvania mails out 1.4 million absentee ballots and gets back 2.2 million.
I think that,
that's not a made-up number. That's a real number.
I think that ship has sailed at this point, Roger, for better or worse.
I don't disagree. I don't think we're going to get a redo of the 2020 election at all. All I'm saying is, we need to have fair, honest, transparent elections in all 50 states, and we need to reform those laws. In those states where you have a Democratic governor and a Democratic led domination of both houses, we need constitutional amendments. Let the people decide. But we need to have fair elections, and frankly, we need to break the hammer lock, the control and censorship of all mass communications in the United States. WABC radio is one of the few places on earth where you can hear all points of view, where nobody is censored. You can hear people on the left, the center, and the right. That's refreshing. You don't find that in most media outlets.
And everybody in between. Finally, Roger, let me ask you about somebody else that you are associated with. That's Republican Congressman Matt Gaetz from Florida. I watched the news coverage of Matt Gaetz, and so many of the file photos that they use of him and this gentleman that's now turned on him in the criminal probe that's involving him have you in the photo with Gaetz and this other now cooperating witness. Where do you think all this goes with Matt Gaetz? Do you think there's any substance to the allegations?
Well, first of all, I'm going to change my name to Roger Clickbait Stone, because that's why they run those pictures. I only met this fellow, Joel Greenberg, I believe once, perhaps twice, because he may have been at a large Republican rally in the Orlando area. They would imply to you that he is an intimate of mine. He's not. I know of no evidence or proof whatsoever that Congressman Matt Gaetz has done anything wrong. We have a guy who did do a lot of things wrong, evidently, because he's been criminally charged, And now, you know how this works. They squeeze the little guys to give you a big guy. Well, give us some testimony against Matt Gaetz and maybe we'll go easy on you. Matt Gaetz is a good man, and all of these allegations are unproven. This poor guy now has to fight rumors. He has to fight charges, but not legal charges, and it's all done within the court of public opinion. No, I think Matt Gaetz is a good man who's being smeared, and that's because he's been one of the few members of Congress who are willing to take on some of the odious creeps like, I don't know, Jerry Nadler.
So you think Schiff, you think he survives this ultimately?
Well, no, I think this is all political. I think that this is retribution because he's been an outspoken supporter of the president, and he's a fighter. He's a warrior. I think in the end he will be cleared. Or I should say, in the end, there will be no result because all we're getting are smears, accusations. But Joel Greenberg has been charged.
Roger Stone
has not been charged with anything.
I appreciate the time. I want to encourage everybody, if they're interested in helping Nydia's battle here, they can go to the website StoneFamilySupportFund.com. What am I listening to there, Roger? What is that?
That was one of my engineers just hit a soundtrack of the Roger Stone chant.
Well, we've got to get our guys together, your engineer and mine. It sounds like they'd have a lot in common.
Yeah, that would be good. So anyway,
Stone family,
you're doing a great job. My salute to Greg Kelly, who has a day off. God bless him. I hope he's getting a suntan somewhere.
Me too. StoneFamilyFund.com if people want to help. Roger, have a great weekend. We'll talk with you soon. Best to Nydia. All right, 1-800-848-9222 if you want to comment on any portion of my discussion with Roger Stone. That's 1-800-848-WABC. Any other subject is fair game as well. Next hour, Steve Levy is going to be here. We're going to delve into a whole bunch of issues, including the wokeness of the modern American young person. We'll continue with your calls in just a minute. This is the Greg Kelly Show. Greg is off today. I'm Frank Moreno. We'll take your calls next.
Greg Kelly is on the air, 77 WABC.
Well, this is not Greg Kelly. This is Frank Moreno, and I am happy to take your calls at 800-848-9222. Jackie is in Brooklyn. Hello, Jackie.
Hello. Good afternoon, Frank. Usually I'm saying good morning, but good afternoon.
It's a struggle for me as well. We'll adjust together.
Just two things really quickly. First off, I would like to send my heartfelt prayers out to Roger Stone and his wife, Nydia. My mother went through a very similar situation, similar circumstances, lifetime of stress, never smoked, and didn't take chemo, didn't take radiation. 30 years ago, she had one of her lungs removed, and she went on to live a normal life for another 30 years thereafter. So with their prayers and making the right medical choices for them and their situation, I hope that everything will be well.
Amen. I couldn't agree with you more, Jackie.
The other thing I wanted to comment on, you asked about this resurgence and after the pandemic that we've gone through. I don't know the statistics. You might want to look them up, but I think if there is going to be a baby boom, it probably already began this past November. And will probably continue through this coming September, because that was the height of the shutdown.
Well,
and there's only so much cooking, baking, TV watching, and crafts that you can do.
So far, Jackie, they've found that that's not the case, that they've found that there was not a baby boom from March of last year up until now. And they attribute that to a lot of economic uncertainty because people have lost jobs and a lot of uncertainty about health. So now a lot of that economic uncertainty has sort of obviated because businesses are reopening, people are getting back to work, and a lot of the health uncertainty has gone away because of the situation with the vaccine, et cetera.
I'm surprised because in my family alone, there were 4 births.
Oh, really?
Time frame. Yep.
Congratulations.
Yeah. So I'm surprised. And I would think, I mean, when the shutdown really began, was the beginning of it was last February. So I would think the baby boom wouldn't begin until November of last year.
Well, we'll see what happens, Jackie. I guess the statistics, we'll have to wait and watch. Am I right?
I guess we will.
We'll see. Thank you, Jackie. 800-848-9222. 1-800-848-WABC. Phil is in Mendham, New Jersey. Phil, rumor is Mendham, New Jersey is still wall-to-wall Greg Kelly country.
I'm sorry that I've been busy in my vegetable garden planting, so I am a little out of some of these important matters, and I apologize for that.
Well, I accept your apology, Phil. Thank you. 800-848-9222. Marshall is in Brooklyn. Hello, Marshall.
Hello. Hi, yes. Good afternoon. Happy Friday, and happy Memorial Day weekend.
Marshall, who's coming to arrest you right now? We can't get the cops to arrest anybody in this city, and yet it sounds like they're coming for you. What did you do?
No.
Don't resist arrest. Whatever you do, do not resist arrest.
No.
If you do resist arrest, make sure you have somebody to film it so people can do marches in your name.
Definitely, yes. Well, you just touched on one of the points that I wanted to make, because I am a citizen that truly believes in law and order. And I have to say two things.
You.
The first is that, you know, I don't know what is going on in New York City. I'm going to be honest with you. This city has gone back to me to the 1980s. I haven't even been into Manhattan yet, but I'm hearing all of the horror stories. And I'm not understanding why this governor is still allowed to come on television, you know, 5 days out of the week, and still be given directives with a lot of these sinister things that have taken place under his administration. The nursing homes, also, I'm going to be honest, the blocking of a drug, which I won't say on the name, that could have reduced this pandemic significantly. Also, the other issue that, you know, that I'm finding that we're facing now is, why is he so vaccine happy? You know, I mean, this is crazy. I'm going into establishments and I'm being questioned about whether I've been vaccinated or not. I mean, so are you telling me that HIPAA has gone out the window now? And the last point that I'm going to make and let you address all of this and hang up and hear what you have to say is, if the vaccine is so good, why are they bribing, hoodwinking, and bamboozling people with so many things to take it?
All right, so Marshall, you said quite a bit there. So I'm going to try and address the four points that I took out of that. One, why is the governor still allowed to go on TV and give directives? That's a simple answer. He's allowed to do that because he's the governor. You can be the governor with a 99% approval rating or a 1% approval rating. You could have 20 scandals or zero scandals. As long as you still have that title governor, you're still able to do things that a governor does. And one of the things that a governor can always do is get on television. That's number one. Number two, his handling of the nursing home scandal is abysmal, and history will record him as playing a horrible role in the deaths of, I would venture to say, probably upwards of 20,000 New Yorkers that might not have died but for his poor decision-making on that. Plus, it's not just that. It's the cover-up of the nursing home scandal as well, which is equally, in my view, criminal. We'll see where the legislature goes. We'll see where the attorney general goes. In terms of the vaccine happiness, you ask, why is he so vaccine happy? That is such a great question, particularly given when President Trump announced the Operation Warp Speed initiative, pushing forward with the development of these vaccines. The governor was, at best, a vaccine skeptic. You remember, he came out on television and said he didn't trust the vaccine. He came out and said, in words or substance, New Yorkers cannot play politics with their health. We are not going to trust any vaccine that is not reviewed by an independent panel of experts. Now, of course, that was total nonsense, because what was going to happen? The vaccine was going to go to 49 other states except New York, and Governor Cuomo was going to save you from the awful Trump vaccine? Of course not. So the reason he's so vaccine happy now is because the vaccine is working. As far as these incentives go, which you rightly describe as a bribe, it is so annoying. Now, I got vaccinated. I didn't need an incentive. My incentive was I didn't want to get the coronavirus. Silly me. But what they have done here, Governor Cuomo in New York, Governor Murphy in New Jersey, Governor DeWine in Ohio, and now Governor Newsom in California, by giving people lottery tickets, free beers, free transportation, free visits to parks, what they've done here is they've created what economists call a moral hazard. Because a year from now, when people need to get the booster shot, or 5 years from now when the next pandemic rolls around and they ultimately develop a vaccine for that, why would you ever get the vaccine? All you have to do is wait. And if you wait long enough, you're going to get bribed with whatever you want. Free transportation, free lottery tickets. So now I kind of regret getting the vaccine so early because I got no free beer. I got no free lottery tickets. If you're going to bribe people to get the vaccine, it should be, look, now they're giving free college scholarships away. If you're going to bribe people to get the vaccine, make it retroactive so that I get the bribe. That's all I'm asking. 800-848-9222. We will delve into some other topics as well. Steve Levy is here. You're going to love Steve Levy if you're not familiar with him. If you are, you already know. There's all the more reason to stay tuned. Joe Nolan is going to join us live from the Jersey Shore. Some of you may be on the road to the Jersey Shore right now. Lucky you. Good for you. I'm on the fence about whether after this show I will be headed to the Jersey Shore. If it's less than 2.5 hours of traffic, then I will. If it's not, then I won't. That's kind of where I am at the moment. 800-848-9222. Charlie is in Jackson Heights. Charlie, what's on your mind?
First of all, you're brilliant. Second of all, I have so many things on my mind. Let me just blurt out a couple of things. Cyrus Vance is a disaster. And that other criminal who's running for the mayor, I forgot his name. What's his name? The other politician.
Well, no one talk- is it Scott Stringer?
Yeah, he's another disaster. Okay, also, cancer. They'll never
I'm
be
against
a cure
it.
For cancer because cancer is a $1 trillion a year business. And they don't want to lose $1 trillion. And Nydia, what's her name's wife?
Roger Stone's wife, yeah.
Yeah. It's unfortunate that she listened to it. You should listen to your body. Let your body detect whether you're sick or not. You should never listen to a doctor because they're in the business of doctoring.
Charlie, I got to run. We're up against a hard break. I thank you for the call. And unfortunately, the only aspect of your call that I really agreed with is that I'm brilliant. The rest of your call, I tend to differ with. And I would actually encourage people, if they're sick, don't take medical advice from the radio. Consult with your doctor. As far as not finding a cure for cancer would be quite profitable. And I think you'd have a lot of people being willing to pay a lot of money for it. So I don't necessarily go along with that. Ray Raimondi's got the news next, and then we'll talk with Steve Levy straight ahead.
In the squadron, they called him Bullets, but we call him Greg Kelly. Greg Kelly is on the air on 77 WABC.
Well, I have to tell you, no one's ever called me Bullets in any circumstances. I think my call sign, my nickname was Mutzadel. This is Frank Morano sitting in for the great Greg Kelly, who does a terrific job every day from 1 to 3. He's going to be back on Tuesday after the Memorial Day weekend, but we'll do our best to get you through the next hour commenting on the news of the day. 1-800-848-WABC if you'd like to comment on any of the stories that we're commenting on. And I am just thrilled because joining me in studio is one of my all-time favorite pundits, one of my all-time favorite authors, and somebody who has been a real visionary in terms of both politics and public policy. And believe it or not, it's rare that you find those two skill sets in one package. But I'm very, very pleased to welcome former Suffolk County executive, former candidate for governor. He's, I think, the only former Republican candidate for governor that's not so far running next year. Newsmax columnist and author of the new book, Solutions to America's Problems, a politically incorrect conservative's take on maintaining America's greatness, Steve Levy. Hello, Steve.
Hello, Frank. Great to be with you.
It's great to see you. Now, for people that are unfamiliar with your history, you were a longtime Long Island politician, served two terms as Suffolk County executive. The second time you were elected, you were endorsed by the Democrats and the Republicans. You got elected with about 99% of the vote. You were in the state assembly as a Democrat, elected to the Suffolk County executive position as a Democrat briefly, describe for your people, for the people listening, your journey from Democrat to a Republican, how someone that served in the Assembly as a Democrat with Shelley Silver went from being a Democratic elected official to writing the book, Solutions to America's Problems, a politically incorrect conservative's take on maintaining America's
greatness. Well, it's a great question. You know, when I first came out of St. John's Law School, 1984, ran for Suffolk County Legislature in 85. I was a typical Long Islander who was fiscally conservative, yet socially moderate. I think that's where like 80% of the public is, Frank, right? So as I'm out there knocking on doors, you realize that the biggest problem people are facing, whether they're Democrat, Republican, Independent, is high property taxes. They can't afford to stay on the island. So this fiscal conservatism becomes part of my raison d'etre, you know, to really try to make a point on that. But as time goes by, I'm finding that it's really the strength of the municipal unions, the overpowering strength that they have here in New York, that makes New York, like California and Illinois and Jersey, and all of these blue states, so unaffordable in which to live. And it dawned on me, this is unsustainable. So that coupled with how the Democratic Party was becoming an open border party, I said, you know what? This is not the Democratic Party that I was born into, that my father was born into. This is not the John Kennedy Democratic Party anymore. It wasn't even the Ted Kennedy Democratic Party. I saw before it was actually happening, it was becoming a Bernie Sanders AOC party. So I just had enough, you know, in around 2010 and said, hey, there's got to be a better way. And I switched parties and have tried to be an open-minded, independent thinker for most of my career.
So it's less that your views shifted rightward. It's more that the Democratic Party shifted leftward and you no longer had a home there.
It's the Ronald Reagan line. I didn't leave the Democratic Party. The party left me. So he faced that when they were radicalized in the 60s. Now they've gone on steroids here in the last few years. But I saw that happening a decade ago. And I said, you know, there's got to be a better way.
Are there any Democrats left on a local level or on a national level that you could point to that, in your view, still embody the best traditions of the Democratic Party?
You know, there are some out there, but they're scared.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the point. You know, a Joe Manchin can have the seat by which to espouse his views, and he's in for a six-year term. But it's very rare, even in the New York State legislature, where you have some of the suburban Democrats who might tend to be more moderate. They're still very liberal, but compared to the crazies, you know, the Marxists,
right,
that are
– they're the ones –
they're considered moderate, and they're not.
Yeah.
They're very, very liberal. But they're scared to speak out because the woke element of the party has taken over. Even if they're not in the majority, they control the agenda. And we see President Biden – kowtowing to them, even though they don't have a majority in that caucus, the moderates are scared out of their minds.
Well, you're right. I mean, when I hear from my friends that are in politics about the nature of the legislative Democrats, they're afraid not of the Republicans, but of the AOC wing of the Democratic Party.
Sure. And the way districts are carved out now with redistricting, and this is why we have more partisanship and gridlock. You're far more likely to be defeated from an intra-party struggle, a primary, whether you're on the right or the left in many of these districts, than losing in the general election. So that's what leads to people, you know, parting to their corners rather than looking toward the middle where most people reside.
Well, we have a little bit of breaking news.
Tonight, President Biden ordering U.S. intelligence agencies to redouble their efforts to investigate.
Breaking news sounders. Sorry about that. So the breaking news that we have is that within the last hour, it's been announced that Republican senators have blocked legislation on creating the January 6th commission. The GOP blocked the Senate from debating the bill in a 54-35 vote. What's your view on the idea of a January 6th commission, Steve?
Well, look. What happened on January 6th is something that was deplorable, and every Republican is saying that. So when the Democrats want to have an investigation, I'm okay, but I want to also couple that with an investigation of the hundreds of riots that took place over the last year. How about that guy who tried to burn down a courthouse or a police station? Why is he walking the streets? So this has become a diversion, a political diversion for the right. They don't talk about Antifa, do they? You look at CNN, it's wall-to-wall January 6th, one event. Again, Republicans are the first to say this is deplorable. If only we could get Democrats to likewise say, hey, those hundreds of riots that had taken place last year and are still taking place today in Portland, they should be investigated too. Unless the Democrats do that, no way.
Well, the thing that that doesn't seem to make sense to me is why is this needed to be investigated by a special commission rather than just conventional law enforcement standards. I mean, the 9/11 commission, it was very clear they were investigating the failures of the American intelligence community. So it made sense to have an independent commission look at what went on here and then make recommendations on how to change this. There's no allegation at this point that law enforcement is not doing its job properly. I mean,
Part of it is the theory that the Capitol Police report to Nancy Pelosi. So let's have an independent commission to find out what did Pelosi say? What did the mayor of Washington say? You know, you hear these conflicting stories. Well, they wanted the National Guard. Then they called off the National Guard because they didn't want to look like they were militarizing the protest. So there are answers that are needed, but you're right. Does this rise to the level of a 9/11 commission to find out why the FBI was not coordinating with the CIA? Absolutely not. This is mostly theater by the Democrats to try to change the subject as we go toward the midterms so we're not focused on these elements in Portland taking over a city or Antifa beating people nearly to death in various cities. You still have these leftist protests that CNN, MSNBC, and the rest of the liberal media want to ignore. And this is perfect for them because all they have to do is talk about January 6th like that. That is the real fear we have in America today. As though we needed to lock down Washington, D.C. because a bunch of protesters went overboard, as though there was this conspiracy to overthrow the United States government on a continuing basis. It was all made up. I mean, obviously, January 6th was terrible. They were rioters. They should be prosecuted. But
and
you
they
don't
are
see,
being prosecuted.
Right. But you don't see the people who were burning down police buildings and courthouses being prosecuted. What happened to the guy who dumped a bucket of water and a pail on that police officer a couple of years ago? When I saw that, Frank, I said, if they don't do something with this guy, they've just sent the message that it's fair game against police officers. I would love to get a list of all these people who've attacked police officers, who've burnt down stores, who've tried to destroy police departments, who've taken over cities, as in Washington. What happened to them? They went in, they were bailed out, nothing ever happened, yet the FBI director will go on 60 Minutes and say, we're prosecuting every one of these rioters from January 6th to send a message, it never happens again. Fine, will you do that to all the rioters in Portland and Seattle?
If people are just tuning in, this is Frank Morano sitting in for Greg Kelly. My co-host for the hour is the great Steve Levy. You can learn more about him, read his column, check out his books at stevelevy.info. That's LEVY.info. You wrote a fascinating column, and we'll take your calls in just a minute, 800-848-9222. It's 1-800-848-WABC. You wrote a fascinating column for Newsmax.com. I've linked to it on my Facebook page at facebook.com/MoranoFan. It's all about how younger Americans will never be woke to the bad old days. I'm going to ask you about that when we come back, and we'll take your calls and your comments throughout the hour. Coming up at 2:30, we will go live to the Jersey Shore, where our own Joe Nolan will do his salute to the Jersey Shore. This is the Greg Kelly Show. I am Frank Morano with Steve Levy, with you until 3 o'clock. Straight ahead.
W-770-ABC. You shake my nerves. drives a man insane. You broke my will, but what a thrill.
The great Jerry Lee Lewis. This is Frank Morano sitting in for Greg Kelly. Friday afternoon, Memorial Day weekend. The only thing that you can take solace in being stuck in traffic right now, which many of you no doubt are, I'm going to join you being stuck in traffic in about 45 minutes, is that at least you will have quality radio programming for the next several hours. Rudy Giuliani coming up at 3. You got John Catsimatidis coming up at 5. Lydia Serrani at 4. And, of course, the great one, Mark Levin, coming up at 6. And an action-packed weekend we have as well. All kicks off tomorrow morning with James Golden, a.k.a. Bo Snerdly. And it's going to be an interesting weekend of radio programming here on 77 WABC. But for now, I am joined in studio by Steve Levy. And, Steve, you wrote a fascinating column for Newsmax.com. I've linked to it on my Facebook page, facebook.com/MoranoFan. People can read it. About an interesting conversation you had with your 23-year-old nephew last week after he graduated from his master's program. First of all, congratulations to him on the master's degree. What was the nature of your conversation?
Well, it centered on the fact that he was going to be moving into Manhattan, New York City core, to start even more schooling in a month or so. And he was just bubbling over the fact that COVID allowed for him to get a lower rent, and he sapped it up before the market started picking up again. And he's so excited to come here. I said, aren't you a little concerned about the trend that's happening right now in New York from a crime perspective? And he was a little bit, but he really had no clue as to what New York was back in the bad old days, like 1980s and early 90s, pre-Giuliani. He knows Rudy Giuliani as Trump's lawyer, not as the guy who saved New York City. And I said,
twice,
hey, right, right. You've got to be careful. I don't want to mention his name, but, you know, you and your girlfriend, this is not the New York City of just a few years ago. I mean, we're going back to the bad old days. Do you know there were 2,200 murders around 1990? They said the city was ungovernable. In came Giuliani, implemented a broken windows theory that you go after the little things like the squeegee men and the turnstile jumpers, and that catches the thugs who were going to commit further crimes. You do a stop and frisk that started off properly. They went a little overboard, but you get the illegal guns off the street, and voila! The death rate comes down dramatically. By the time Bloomberg leaves, the murder rate is down around 350, and it eventually dips to about 290. Well, guess what? The crazies, the lefties get in, they destroy all of that good work, and you had a huge 45% increase in murders in 1 year. And I'm saying, how can you support these guys? And it was every excuse under the sun. It was all about how the police are attacking unarmed black men. He's buying this false narrative. I said, hey, that's not going to do you any good, that narrative. When you or your wife are on the subway and some crazy guy comes along, tries to throw you onto the tracks,
well,
or whatever.
That's what I don't understand. You have this Atlanta City Councilman, Antonio Brown, mm-hmm. who voted in favor of defunding the police. He just got his car stolen.
Right.
Or burglarized. He got his car burglarized, and he's not
right in front of him.
Amazing. I mean, it's amazing. And if you look at city after city that has made substantial reductions to their police budgets, I haven't yet seen a city where the crime rate in that city has gone down rather than up. Mayor Dinkins, to his credit, had the wisdom to, one, appoint a very good police commissioner in the person of Ray Kelly, who did a great job when the World Trade Center was bombed, and then subsequently did a great job in beginning the turnaround. But then he had the wisdom to realize, okay, when crime is out of control and going up, we need to hire more police.
Right.
And he pushed through a politically unpopular tax increase in order to get more cops on the street. I always gave Mayor Dinkins credit for that. Now, what you're seeing around the country, and I'm surprised that your nephew, who's clearly bright enough to get a master's degree, doesn't see the wisdom in wanting to hire more police to combat this rise in crime.
Well, he might have a change of attitude as soon as he does move into the city and is seeing what it is today. You know, he had the good fortune of living in a sleepy suburban village, going to a suburban school for all this time. Now it's going to be quite a wake-up call. But what was fascinating to me is that, you know, these are situations where Democrats created the problem back in the 70s and the 80s with their liberalism. Republican comes along and fixes it, and then the leftists come in and undo the fix. We see that with crime. We see it with schools where they destroy the school system. The conservatives come in and say, let's go to charter schools. You start seeing some real progress. So what do? The leftists come in, they kill the charter schools. You see it with the border, where they create a border mess, starting with the Obama years. Trump comes in, cleans it up, no more border problem. What did the leftists do with Biden and his friends? They undo all of the progress we made and create chaos all over again. This is what I was trying to get through to my nephew. He's not getting it, in part because of the indoctrination that came from his ivory tower institutions, but also in part because he hasn't lived it yet. Mm. Those of us who've been around for a while remember what it was like in the pre-Giuliani era. Why in God's name would we want to go backwards? It makes absolutely no sense. He's going to learn the hard way.
Makes no sense to me whatsoever. 800-848-9222. Let's take a couple of quick calls. We're going to go live to the Jersey Shore in just a minute to hear Joe Nolan's salute to the Jersey Shore. Let me say hello to Steve in Glendale. Steve, you're on with Frank Morano and Steve Levy.
Hey, Steve, how you doing? You know who this is?
I hear Steve. I heard Glendale. Do you know I was from St. Pancras Elementary School, Steve?
Hey, Steve. I'm your friend, Steve. Kevin and Steve, 61st Street.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my good. Kevin Rina. This was not a setup. This was not. But there's a guy named Levy.
We're playing.
I went to St. Pancras Elementary School. That was my parochial school in New York City. Yep. Taught us well. 63 kids in my class, Steve, and I learned.
Wow. Well, this is like this is your life here, Steve. Steve, what's your comment before we head to down to the Jersey Shore?
Well, Steve, since we knew your family, we followed you for years out to Long Island and everything. Would you ever consider coming back to Queens and running for office?
Well, I think my next step may be Florida rather than Queens, Steve, where everybody else, where there's more freedom and lower taxes. But I'm here for a while because of grandkids and my roots on Long Island. But you can't take Glendale out of the kid. It's still always with me.
I know that, and look, it's so good to see you doing well.
Thank you, Steve. Appreciate it very much. 800-848-9222. Take one more call here before we head down to the Jersey Shore and Joe Nolan. I know you're more of a Hamptons guy, Steve, but you ever spend much time at the Jersey Shore?
I have not. You know, I'm only 35 minutes from West Hampton, which is nice. I'm in Bayport, New York, which is, again, a sleepy little suburban town, a modest house. But the shore is the shore. We're very fortunate here.
Big shout out to all of our listeners on Eastern Long Island listening to us on Talk Radio 107.1. It's a great community. 800-848-9222. Alex calling from Silicon Valley, California. What's on your mind?
Yes, I wanted to respond to the comment about how the Democratic Party is pursuing extreme policies compared to how it used to be in the past during the John F. Kennedy era. The reason for the change is because of the demographic change in the Democratic voter, and that is fueled by immigration. And I'm afraid that as of now, it's too late to undo the change because our borders have been open for too long. And so this is something to look forward to whether you like it or not.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to get an argument from either of us on that front, Alex. Well, we're going to take a quick break. We'll continue with your calls in just a minute. Steve Levy is here, 800-848-WABC. This is the Greg Kelly Show. We'll head down to Lavalette, New Jersey in just a moment for Joe Nolan's annual salute to the Jersey Shore. Straight ahead.
It's the all-night record, man.
2:34, this is the Greg Kelly Show. I'm Frank Morano, sitting in for Greg Kelly, joined for the hour by the one and only Steve Levy, taking your calls at 800-848-9222. We may head down to the Jersey Shore and check in with Joe Nolan in just a minute, but in the meantime, let's say hello to Tricia in Connecticut. Hello, Tricia.
Hi, Frank. You were unduly modest in your self-introduction. I'm a talk radio addict. So I know very well that you are a talented raconteur, as is Greg Kelly. I agree with you on his skills, and I enjoy listening to you and talking to you late at night, but it's great to hear you during the daytime, too.
Well, thanks very much. I appreciate that, Tricia. You're very kind to say so. I appreciate your patronage a great deal. Have a great Memorial Day weekend.
You, too. Keep it up.
All right. 800-848-9222. Steve, you know, I was talking with Roger Stone earlier, and he was raising some questions about the nature of voting these days. He had some issues with the recent presidential election. What are your thoughts on voter integrity in general in New York State and around the country, and what can be done, if anything, to preserve voter integrity so that voters, wherever they fall on the political spectrum, have some confidence that the person who wins the election actually won the election?
Well, it's very scary what's happening right now, Frank. And, you know, as well as being a consultant, I'm also the president and executive director of a nonprofit think tank called the Center for Cost Effective Government. And one of our major pillars is maintaining the integrity of the electoral process. And we've been seeing a chipping away of it. And this goes long before President Trump was on the scene. We're seeing the reintroduction of things like ballot harvesting. Now, imagine there's a foreign election and Americans like Jimmy Carter are going there to oversee it. And they say that the strong arm leader in power tells the public, don't come and vote privately. We're going to send our guys to your house and collect the ballot from you. Okay. Our heads would explode if something like that happened. No, you're going to intimidate the voter. You're going to lose the chain of custody on the vote. But that's exactly what is being promoted today in H.R. 1, the Republican plan, and the media promotes ballot harvesting.
That's a Democratic plan.
Right, Democratic plan. Yeah. It's a horrible thing. Then what you saw with the expanded mail-in voting, listen, it's okay to allow for people who are feeble or they can't get around for an absentee vote. But when you now have people in government sending out ballots that weren't even asked for, you have more ballots in circulation than you have registered voters. That's mischief right there. Then you've got the fight against voter ID, which is hilarious because every pundit you'll see on CNN and MSNBC decry it as being racist, but you can't get into their building without some kind of identification. So we're seeing this chipping away, and it's so important because it's essential in a democracy that, you know, you can lose, but you'll accept the loss if you feel it was fair and square. If you feel it was rigged, it's going to create big, big problems.
Exactly.
Now, I'm not saying we should undo the last election, but let's at least fix this for future elections.
So the problem, as far as you're concerned, with the most recent election was the issue of ballot harvesting. Before we
not
get
just
into the
ballot
future
harvesting.
Problems with H.R. 1.
Not just that. It was also the fact that Democratic operatives, secretaries of state in particular, were unilaterally and unconstitutionally changing the rules on their own. You know, very few people realize that over the last few months, there was a decision in Wisconsin, which basically said that their Secretary of State improperly and unconstitutionally said that if you want to send in a mail-in ballot because you're fearful of COVID, you have the right to do that. That would be okay if the state legislature did it,
but not
but
the
a
courts.
Secretary of
yeah.
State or a court cannot do it on their
yeah.
own.
No, it certainly doesn't do much to instill confidence among the losing
right.
side, let alone the winning side. 800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. Frank Morano and Steve Levy in for the great Greg Kelly. Let's say hello to Chris in Selden, New York. Hello, Chris.
Hi, Frank. It's really nice to hear you during the daylight hours. I'm not fighting to stay awake.
Well, that's very nice. Sometimes, hopefully I don't do too good of a job putting you to sleep, Chris.
No, you don't. That's the trouble. That's why I'd rather hear you during these hours. A big shout out to Steve. Steve, I remember you from when I lived in Holbrook.
Wow.
You were one of the I think it was one of the first legislative jobs that you had.
Yes, I was a local and, county legislator.
And you were my district legislator.
I probably knocked on your door, Chris, way back when. I was famous for that.
Oh, we not only that, we've had conversations, and I went to civic associations where you spoke. You're still my prize politician,
thank
if you,
you
want to use that word, because you speak common sense, and I trust you, and it's just a delight to hear you again.
Well, thanks for the common sense shout-out. You know, I so believe in common sense, Chris, that I spent a lot of money to buy that logo for my consulting firm. It's called Common Sense Strategies, because more than Republican or Democrat or right or left, first and foremost, I believe in common
sense.
So thank you.
That's our mantra, and thanks for the call, Chris. That's our mantra at this radio station, Common Sense. That's the name of Bill O'Reilly's show. Rudy Giuliani's podcast is called Common Sense. John Catsimatidis on his show, he's always talking about common sense. So that's our mantra. So it's apropos that we have the president of Common Sense Strategies on with us. Meantime, a little bit of breaking news.
Breaking news, WABC.
Just announced moments ago that New York City's COVID positivity rate is below 1% for the first time since Labor Day. Absolutely incredible. I think it's clearly an indication that the vaccine is working, and between people that have already had COVID and people that have gotten the vaccination, that we are rapidly approaching herd immunity if we're not there already. Steve, I can't understand why we're not completely 100% opened up in every aspect of society at this point.
Well, you hit it right in the head, and I was going to mention that. Frank, don't forget about the people who already had COVID, because the experts, those who follow science, would always look at the vaccination rate. And it's great. We're at 40%. We're climbing to 50%. But, you know, you have to add into that the millions of people who got COVID and have natural immunity
No doubt. And now the medical experts as of yesterday are saying that if you had COVID and recovered from it, you might have a lifetime of immunity.
Exactly.
Whereas if you had the vaccination, you won't maybe only have a year or two before you need the booster shot.
And here's the point. I'm vaccinated. Okay.
Same.
So I don't care if you're vaccinated or not, because you can't hurt me. And frankly, you know, if you get it, that's on you. That's not my bad.
Right.
So you should have the freedom to do whatever you want. I now have the freedom to go anywhere I want. So open up. We don't need a $6 trillion stimulus from Joe Biden to allow inflation to go back to the 70s level. Just open up the economy and let people spend their money and we'll be fine.
Well, it's great that the government has so much extra money that they can dole out this money.
Well, China's going to help us with that by lending it to us, and then we'll really be in their pocket.
800-848-WABC. Aaron is in Queens. Hello, Aaron. Aaron. All right, moving on. 800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC. Let me say hello to Mike in St. James. Hello, Mike.
Hello, Frank. Question for Steve.
Hi, Mike.
With his experience in the county, would he say the legislature, is someone actually telling the police and DAs not to prosecute and make arrests?
Oh, against people and you know, in a certain community, I don't see that the fund the police attitude or mindset has infiltrated Nassau or Suffolk counties yet. You're seeing it nationwide. You're seeing it in the woke cities, in the blue cities. That has not happened out on Long Island, thank goodness. I mean, we've seen some things going on, but nothing like the increase in shootings and murder rates that you've seen in New York City, St. Louis, Los Angeles, Chicago, where the crazies have taken over and now are promoting this defund the police mantra. I haven't seen that in the New York suburbs.
Thank you for the call, Mike. 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. Just to go back to the last conversation about voting integrity. You know, so we know some of the things that we don't want to be doing. We don't want to, as far as you're concerned, have ballot harvesting, have courts rewriting the rules of absentee ballots. What about improving the election process? What would you suggest in terms of restoring integrity and improving the election process?
Well, you know, I always took the view that if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I remember going back when I was still county executive, and there was still the after effect of the hanging Chad. Remember that in the year 2000 with the Gore versus Bush?
Yep.
You had a couple of knuckleheads who drafted a terrible ballot, a butterfly ballot in Broward County, Florida. They had problems. So all of a sudden, we had to spend billions of dollars nationwide to go electronic. I had big problems with going electronic in our voting. We had paper ballots or we had these lever machines. They were inexpensive. They were hack-proof. We never had any concerns about the election results. Leave it alone. I actually brought a lawsuit, Frank, to stop the electronic balloting. We lost that suit. I wish we had won. We would have saved a lot of money, and we would have saved the people's confidence in the system. So that's just one aspect.
Well, in New York, while we do have electronic vote counters now, the ballots themselves are paper.
Well, but they're fed into
right.
an electronic machine. And thank God you've got the paper trail, because when this system first came out, there wasn't even the necessity
right. and there's
to
some
keep
states
the paper
that don't,
trail.
There's some states that don't have
that's
that.
That's right.
But in New York, I mean, there's very little danger that someone could hack into the
machine
and change my vote.
Well, that's true as far as hacking on the internet, because we're this decentralized. We're not a centralized internet. But there is the potential that, you know, if something is programmed, someone can change that program. Now, I'm not saying it's likely to happen. I'm not saying it happens often. But the potential is there. There is potential for mischief anytime you have a computer program where you can change the elements of that program. Have we been safe so far? Maybe, maybe not. I don't want to go there. I just want it to be safe as possible. That's why I just don't like the whole idea of electronic machines. On top of that, I think what we're seeing with the mail-in voting is really getting scary. It used to be if you were doing an absentee ballot, you'd have to ask for it, you'd sign it, you'd send it back, and your signature would be verified vis-a-vis the signature on file,
have to match the buff card.
On file in the Board of Elections. No more. They changed this so that, oh, well, your signature only has to match the signature on the application for the ballot. But if I'm a fraudster trying to get somebody's ballot, what, my signature has to match my first fraudulent signature? It's pretty wacky stuff that they're allowing now.
I can't argue with that. We're going to continue with Steve Levy next. This is the Greg Kelly Show. Frank Moreno and Steve Levy on this Memorial Day Friday. Hopefully you'll be at a parade on Monday. Hopefully you'll do something patriotic. At the very least, hopefully you'll get to enjoy some nice weather and get to relax a little bit this weekend. Today looks to be rough rain-wise. Tomorrow looks to be pretty rough. Hopefully Monday and Sunday should be a bit better. This is the Greg Kelly Show, straight ahead.
On the air, 77 WABC.
Couple of minutes before 3 o'clock, this is the Greg Kelly Show. Greg is off. He should be back on Tuesday. I'm Frank Moreno here with Steve Levy holding down the fort until the great Rudy Giuliani takes over at 3 o'clock. This is going to be one show you are not going to want to miss. Can't wait to hear the mayor comment on the January 6th commission and what's happening in Washington with that and a host of other issues, so many of which he has intimate knowledge of and is at the forefront of. 800-848-9222. We'll continue with your questions in just a minute. So, Steve, I was, before I knew I was going to be filling in for Greg today, I was going to be at Joe Nolan's event in Lavalette, New Jersey, but it starts at 1, right? Now, Joe said they're going to be partying for a long time, but I'm looking at the traffic now. I just checked Google. It will take me between 2 hours and 10 minutes to 2 hours and 33 minutes to get there if I leave from here now. Now, what's your view in terms of what I should do here? On the one hand, I feel like I owe it to Joe to be there to support his event. On the other hand, it's a 2 hour and 33 minute potential drive.
Well, hey, listen, you're talking to a guy who took the train in today for that very reason. It's Memorial Day Friday, Frank. And as I live in Suffolk County. Normal day, it'll take me an hour to drive in, but it'll take me 3 hours to get back. I'm doing the train. I got my COVID test and that, you know, my vaccine, and that's it. I don't have an answer for you other than stay put, wait for the traffic to fill out,
right,
and then get there when you can.
Maybe I'll decamp to Staten Island, yep, have my wife make me a late lunch, and then decide if it's worth making the trip. All right, we're talking with Steve Levy. He's the author of the book, Solutions to America's Problems, A Politically Incorrect Conservative's Guide to Taking on and Maintaining America's Greatness. A Politically Incorrect Conservative's Take on Maintaining America's Greatness. You can check out the book wherever books are available, Amazon or wherever.
Yeah, can they go on my website? Yes, stevelevy.info is the best place to get
it. And if you want to stay in touch with me over the weekend, you can find me on Twitter at Frank Morano. That's Frank, M-O-R-A-N-O. And you can also join my Facebook page, facebook.com/MoranoFan. And we have actually a little Facebook group. It's called Morano Fans and Haters. If you want to comment and be heard about anything that you like, anything you don't like about the preceding 2 hours, that's MORANO Radio Fans and Haters. 800-848-9222. Let me say hello to Jimmy in Brooklyn. Hello, Jimmy.
Yes, sir. I would just like to say that the Republican Party is a dying party. I'm neither Democrat nor Republican. But Republicans have no boots on the ground. They're just white men on the radio, angry all the time, but doing nothing. It's just anger.
Well, I'm not Democrat or Republican either, but I do happen to be white. Steve, let me ask you, as a Republican these days and somebody that's white, you don't strike me as too angry, but you are on the radio. What do you say to Jimmy's take that the Republican Party's weakened?
Jimmy's right in a sense that, you know, the Republican Party is in danger of becoming this old white man party that could be dying off. And believe it or not, Jimmy's not going to agree with this, but Trump kind of got that and started a realignment of the party. Remember, again, Jimmy, I don't know if you agree with this, but there was a time when the Republicans were the representatives of the big Wall Street guys, right? And Democrats were the representatives of the lunch pail working class guy. It's totally switched now. All of Wall Street is funneling the money into Democrats, and it's been the Republicans, really, through Trump's rhetoric and his different direction, that said, hey, you know, trade is killing the working and middle class. These trade policies that they had put in place, unbridled, borderless, you know, immigration is having its impact on wages for the working and middle class. So you're starting to see this realignment. So Jimmy is right in one case, but look, what's on the Democratic side? It's all tribalism. The Democratic Party is a compilation of different special interest groups. So that's a problem in and of itself. What we need is a party that will represent the average middle class person. And it's a work in progress, but I think Republicans will succeed when they go more and more toward the middle class.
Interesting. 800-848-9222. Rudy Giuliani coming up at 3 p.m. Let me say hello to Rich in East Meadow, Long Island. Hello, Rich.
Hi, Frank. Hi, Steve. Nice show.
Hi,
thank
Rich.
You.
I passed Massapequa High School today. There was an anti-mask event going on in the parking lot directly across from it. People were fed up with the politicization of masks. And as we speak about politicizing masks and common sense, Nassau County Police Department, best police department in the world, but the officers in attendance were wearing masks at an outdoor event. Can I? I'd like to respond to the, what you have to say, but what do you think of that? Do you think that's Laura Kern politicizing masks?
Well, I think there's a lag in the time it takes for these institutions to adopt themselves to reality. Again, when you're outside, everyone is now agreeing that it's not worth it. It took the CDC months to catch up to the reality that we were all aware of.
Right.
And isn't it interesting that, again, not to get too partisan here, but it was the Democrats and the left that from day one was saying, we have to follow the science. We have to follow the science. We've known for months now, my friend, that the science notes, if you're outside, you don't need a mask. Children are not at high risk. Let's end this now. It made sense early on where there was a lot of uncertainty. We didn't know much about this problem, but we know a lot now.
I completely agree. It's all virtue signaling.
It's all virtue signaling.
Can I say something?
Yep.
I talked to Frank after the pro-police Wontor rally in Wontor. I think it was in July. And there were cops outside not wearing masks. There were people outside not wearing masks. I think, and I know someone in the PBA, and I haven't got the answer back yet, but I think, and I am surely believing that Democrat Laura Curran is virtue signaling and demanding that they make them wear masks at that event.
I hope that's not the case, Rich. That would be a shame if it is, but it really is a shame. 800-848-9222. Vito in Staten Island, we have less than a minute. Go ahead.
Listen, come on. Yeah, hello.
Hey, Frank. Vito, 30 seconds. Go ahead.
Hey, John Vito. Okay. You're doing a great job filling in, and they do a great job at night. Sorry if I fall asleep in between. Have a great Memorial Day. Maybe I'll see you at the parade. Probably coming with an antique car.
I hope so. I'm going to be at that Memorial Day parade. Starts at noon, Forest Avenue and Hart Boulevard in Staten Island. The finest Memorial Day parade in America. And to think it almost didn't happen this year. Steve, great to see you, my friend.
Thank you, Frank.
Have a great weekend. Hope everybody has a great weekend. Try and get to a parade or a memorial or something this week. Keep in mind, the holidays are about a lot more than just barbecues and beaches. A lot of people died to give us the country that we have, and we're pretty lucky to have it. Follow me on Twitter, @FrankMorano. And remember, your influence counts, so use it.